Church, you can take a seat. Psalm 103 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul," thank you, "and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." Can we just take a moment as we start 2022, can we just have a moment of prayer where we just bless God? Bless him for all he's done for us. Bless him for all that we know he's going to do for us in the coming year. And let's just begin this year just by blessing God. So bow your head with me and let's pray. Father, we do bless your holy name this morning. God, thank you for everything you did to bless us and to help us in this past year. Father, I know for many of us, these last couple years have been the most challenging of our life. But Father, even in the challenge, you have been faithful, and we bless your holy name. Father, we thank you for all the big gifts, all the small gifts, all the ways you've protected us, God. I thank you for all the ways you've been merciful and kind to me and patient. And Lord, we thank you for all the ways that you're going to help us in this next year, all the needs you're going to meet, all the desires you're going to fulfill, all the ways you're going to satisfy our hearts with your goodness. We just say thank you in advance. And God, could we just be the people you want us to be today? Could you help us just to continue to grow and to honor you and to bless your holy name? We ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen, amen. Well, church, Happy New Year. It's good to be with you. I feel like I haven't seen you in ages. I've missed you, but I'm glad to be back, and I'm praying for your health. I'm praying for your family's health. I know so many are sick right now, and many of us have come through it, but it is good to be with you. And can we take a second and welcome all those tuning in online? Glad to be with you guys, too. And today, we are going to finish our sermon series on the Sermon on the Mount. You thought it was never going to end. It's going to end today, and I'm going to do all, well, not all, but most of chapter 7. So just get ready. It's going to be a little bit like a fire hose this morning, and I'm just going to be blasting off chapter 7. And then next week, I'm really excited about our sermon series starting next week. It's called Healthier. And we're going to do this series a little different than we do most of our series. And it's based on this book called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality by Pete Scazzaro. So if you want to check that book out, check it out, read along. It'll be really cool. But it's all about how, you know, you ever feel like sometimes you follow Jesus for so long and you're still like at square one? You ever feel like that some days? You're like, man, I should be better than this. Like, how am I still struggling? Guess I'm the only one that feels like that. But, you know, if there's another sinner here this morning, I would love that. But we're going to talk about how many times our spirituality has to connect with our emotional life, with our past wounds and pains, and we have to learn how to invite God into that deep part of who we are. So that's what that series is going to be about. I think it's going to be really healthy and healing for us. So I'm pumped about that. Make sure to be here, invite someone with you. It's going to be good. But today, Sermon on the Mount, we're gonna wrap this up. And I don't know about you, usually like I explode into the new year with energy and enthusiasm and goals. And this year, I'm crawling and limping into it. Anyone with me? Yeah, anybody limping in? Yes. Anyone online? If you're online, you're that way, just say, give me the fist bump emoji or something. But yeah, just kind of starting it off a little bit different. But I still want to have a great year. How about you? I'm praying for better years for all of us here in this room. And you know, so much of making your life better comes down to that dirty word called habits, right? We know this. So much of life, it's not about the big things. It's about the small things that you do every day and how those build up over time. And, you know, I think the best book I've ever read on habits is Atomic Habits by James Clear. I've talked to you about this. I'm going to always bring this up till somebody writes a better book than that one. But he talks about how to really form habits, and it's an amazing book. If you're interested in it, read it. You'll get a lot out of it. But he basically says that a lot of habit development comes down to two basic ideas. They're very simple. Number one, decide who you want to be. That's where it begins. It begins at the identity level. See, many times we try to change our life on the outside, on the surface levels, but if you don't get to the identity level, you're probably just, you know, rearranging the furniture, but you're not actually changing the foundation of the house. You with me on this? And so that's where it begins. Decide, who do I really want to be? And then number two is you make decisions every day that prove to yourself that you are this type of person. See, every day you're casting votes for who you are, right? When I sleep in, I'm casting a vote that says, well, you're a guy who sleeps in and sleeps in when they should work out. And I'm casting a vote towards that identity. But on the other hand, if you get up and you get after it or you eat a salad for lunch, how about that? You're casting a vote. Who would do that crazy thing? You're casting a vote and you're saying, I'm a person who prioritizes their health. Now, the beautiful things about habits is you don't have to have 100% votes in one direction. You just have to have the majority of them, right? So 51-50 wins. You with me on this? Excuse me. And that's where habits become central to our identity. So that's it, church. That's all you got to do this year. Decide who you want to be, and then cast a vote every day that you're... That's it. All right, let's pray. Band, you guys ready? All right. Too easy. Just somehow it doesn't feel as easy as he makes it sound. But today, I want to talk about... Because when we read the Sermon on the Mount, this is what Jesus is doing. He's saying, this is your identity. You're my follower. This is what it looks like to follow me. And everything we've looked through in the Sermon on the Mount has been Jesus showing us this is how you cast a vote towards the identity of being my follower, right? My followers, they bless people when they're persecuted, right? That's how we cast a vote to say, hey, I'm a follower of Jesus because this is how I'm responding to the ugliness of other people. We saw that Jesus said, hey, when you practice your righteousness, not to be seen by others, but to honor God, you're casting a vote towards being my follower. And today I want to talk about the last things that he shows us in chapter 7. And I believe if we practice all these, they will make a better year. Excuse me, guys. I believe that if we practice these things that he says in chapter 7, no matter what else happens this year, this will help our year greatly. And here's what they are. I'm going to give them to you up front real quick. Number one, Jesus is going to say, judge less. Judge less. Be less critical. It's my daughter amening me in the back. Help daddy out up here, girl. Judge less. Criticize less. Number two is pray more. Pray more. And number three is act obediently. Judge less, pray more, act obediently. These are the last things that Jesus is going to call us to in Matthew chapter 7. And I believe if you and I do these three things, it's going to be a good year. So you ready to dive into it? Here we go. Matthew 7. I am going to skip a couple verses today, but but by and large, we are going to get most of all of chapter 7 here. If you catch my drift. Most of all of kind of chapter 7. So here we go. Chapter 7, verse 1. Judge not. Some Christians really need to hear that. Judge not that you not be judged. You ever met a judgmental religious person? Or are they like Sasquatch? They don't really kind of exist, aren't? We've all known that. And let's be honest, sometimes we've been that too, right? Here's what Jesus says. Here's how he feels about that. Judge not that you not be judged. For with the judgment you pronounced, you will be judged. Church, some of us, we need to underline that. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So Jesus says, okay, if you want to play that game, whoever lives by the sword dies by the sword. If you want to be very critical of others, that's fine. But then, are you ready for God to be real critical of you? You with me on that? He says, that's how it works. You can't have it both ways. You can't be hyper judgmental of others and then say, but Lord, be gracious with me. He said, no, if you want to play that game, you got to play both ends. I don't want to play that game. Anybody with me on that? Verse 3, that's like my life verse right there. I'm like, grace. I'm giving everybody grace because I want God to give me a lot. I'm being patient with everyone because I want God to be patient with me. Verse 3, why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? I'm gonna focus on that little piece of sawdust in your eye. And Jesus says, yeah, but you're walking around with a 2x4 coming out your forehead. And you look like an idiot. That's the implication. It's what it says in the Greek. How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck that is out of your brother's eye. Then you'll see clearly. Because if you've ever had a 2x4 sticking out of your head, you don't see straight. Your vision's a little bit messed up. Now, in these verses, Jesus is giving us a lot of incentive to judge less. And I really think in this season of our world, we need less judgmental people. Because you can find them everywhere. Now, I know the world always criticizes Christians and says they're so judgmental. And we definitely can be, and I can be, and it's messed up, and it's wrong. But, you know, being judgmental is actually a human problem. It's not just a, because I've met non-Christians that are as judgmental as any Christian I've ever met. You with me on this? This is a human problem, and this is why Jesus addresses it. He understands that this is part of human nature, and he gives us tremendous incentive to be people that judge less. And here's what they are. Here's the first incentive. Jesus says, with the measure you use, it will be measured against you. So if I want to judge, then the measure that I use, God's going to say, well, let me hold you to that same standard. Recently, Allie and I, we sold our house, our first house that we had together, and it was over 100 years old, you know, and we love the house, but it's over 100 years old. There's a lot wrong with it, you know? If you live over 100 years old, there's going to be a lot wrong with you, too. It's just, you know, time breaks us down, amen? I mean, I'm in my 30s, and I'm already broken. But anyway, but there's a lot of issues with the house. And so we were getting the inspection, and I was nervous about the inspection because I thought, honestly, as stringent as this inspector wants to be, he could probably find all kinds of stuff, you know? And it's not like the house was bad, but it's just old. You could probably ding us for everything you want just because of the reality of it. And so my whole prayer was just, I pray that this guy is laid back. I pray, you know, that he just kind of has a very realistic perspective on things. And thankfully he did, and it was no issue at all. But when I hear Jesus saying that, that's kind of the reality of our lives. Like, how much do you want God to scrutinize your life? How much do you want God to peel back the layers of your heart and your motives and your actions and your thoughts? How hard do you want God to be on you? You with me on this? Because we're kind of like that house. If the Lord really wants to, there's all kinds of stuff he can find. All kinds of, and you're like, well, maybe for you, Pastor. No. If you don't think it's you, then it's especially you. There's even more in you if you don't think it is. And so this is the first level of incentive. Jesus is saying, hey, God, if you want God to be gracious to you, which I think is a good thing to want, then you need to be gracious to other people. Now, Jesus is not saying here, hey, we just let everything slide in life and you can never challenge someone or you can never call someone out. That's not what Jesus is saying here. Judging is more of a critical, a censorious spirit that is really looking to tear someone down. The motive is mixed. It's impure. It's a motive where I'm really looking to sort of bash you or hurt you or belittle you to either build myself up or address my own insecurity or whatever. But, you know, there's times where you can speak the truth in love to someone and it's really healthy. That's different from judging here. You with me on this? And so Jesus is saying, hey, the first thing is just be careful. If you want to play this game, if you want to be Mr. or Mrs. Critical, then just make sure you're good with God being that towards you. If you're the person that always points out what's wrong in everyone, you said, you want God to start pointing out everything that's wrong in you? You point out everyone else's imperfections, you want him to start putting a list together of yours? I don't want that. I'm like, hey, give the guy a pass. Because I want the Lord to talk to the angels and be like, give that guy a pass. I know he's an idiot, but I think he meant well, kind of. I don't know. Just let him slide. Amen? That's what I want from the Lord. And so Jesus says, with the measure you used, it will be measured to you. Now, here's the other incentive that we have. Jesus also says that when we are being judgmental, there's a 2x4 sticking out of our head. There is this incredible tendency in you and me to nitpick other people and be completely blind to the way that we hurt and disappoint others. You just have to know this about yourself, that you are incredibly susceptible to self-deception. How do I know this about you? Because you're a human being. And that's what we do. And that's what Jesus is warning us against. He's saying, hey, you're freaking out about that speck in your brother's eye, but you're knocking everybody in the head with the 2x4 coming out of you. And Jesus says, what should you really be worried about here? And do you know what our judgmental thoughts and spirits tend to do, church? They tend to actually expose our own hypocrisy. See, many times the things that bother us about other people are because those are our issues. And they're standing up before us like a mirror. You with me on this? See, I get annoyed with bossy people. I tell everybody what to do. There's way too much laughter over that. I haven't even made my point. I get annoyed with bossy people because if they're bossy, how can I be the bossy one in the room? Amen? I don't like people who walk into a room and steal all the attention. Because if they have it, how can I have it? Come on. See, we tend to be upset with the things that are actually a reality in our own lives. That's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, hey, if you dig into your critical spirit, it's actually a mirror to your own brokenness. So I want you to think today, what are the things that really, really bug you? Because those might be the things that God wants you to see in you. What are the things that you're harping on everyone else about? Because the Spirit of God might want to show you and say, hey, buddy, guess why you don't like it? Because that's you. And rather than address it in you, you'd rather just condemn it in everyone else because that's a lot easier. See, I feel a lot better when I can tear you down and talk about what's messed up with you. I don't like so much talking about what's messed up with me. It makes me uncomfortable. I'm much more comfortable bashing you. That feels way better to me. Anyone with me? Y'all are giving me some real weird looks this morning. But this is what Jesus is saying. He's saying, listen, this is a window to our own brokenness. And when you and I, when we find that spirit of judgmental nature coming out of us, it's a window into maybe our own brokenness. And so here's what Jesus says. When you get there, here's what you got to do. You got to deal with your own brokenness. See, church, if we worried a lot less about everyone else and more about ourselves, life would be better. You would be happier. And so would the people around you. If you and I just, if we put like 50% of the energy that we put into like gossiping and slandering and being frustrated with the decisions of other people, and we put that towards introspection with God's Spirit, do you know how much better off we will be this year? We will be awesome. Like the amount of growth that will happen in us will be phenomenal. And so here's what Jesus is calling us into this year. Judge less. You quit worrying about that speck in your brother's or sister's eye, and you just start allowing God to deal with the 2x4 in your own. And you know what? That's a great path towards a better year. And you know, that also makes a way more attractive church too. You with me on this? See, if we as followers of Christ, if we really practice just what Jesus is saying in these verses, church, man, that shows a much different reality of what it means to be a Christian than a lot of the world thinks. When we're focusing on getting that 2x4 out of our own eye and putting our energy and effort towards that, it shows a much better way. It shows the way of Jesus. So let's judge less. You with me on that, church? Now let's look at this next part. I'm going to skip a couple verses. So then we're going to go to verse 7. I'm going to skip one verse. And he says this. Judge less. Here's our second one. Pray more. Say it with me. Pray more. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be open to you. Which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Pray more. Pray more. What's Jesus saying? Ask, seek, and knock. Jesus said, and if you ask, seek, and knock, God wants to give good gifts to his children. I've never had my daughter Emery ask me for breakfast or lunch, and then I prepare a plate and say, hey, I know you wanted peanut butter and jelly, but here's a scorpion. I've never done that, never thought about doing that, never crossed my mind. And Jesus says, and if you've ever done that, let's talk after service. I'll connect you with 911. Anyway, but Jesus is saying, listen, if you're a parent, you're an imperfect parent, but you know that pull in you to want to meet the needs of your kids. I mean, you know that unbelievably strong pull in you to bless them and to serve them. And the last thing that you want to do is to deceive them or trick them or string them along, you'll give your life for it. And Jesus says, you're evil. Sorry. You're broken. You're imperfect. You're messed up. Even the best parent in the world is deeply flawed. He says, but your heavenly Father is perfect. And if you have that impulse towards your kids, I want you to know his impulse towards you is a billion times that. Church, can you hear that this morning? And so Jesus says, I want you to pray more. Ask, seek, and find. Now notice the language that Jesus is using here is the language of persistence. And I know sometimes you think God isn't hearing you because you have to persist. I know sometimes you think God doesn't care because there's delays towards the needs in your life. But I want you to see that Jesus is showing us that that by no means means that God doesn't care. Asking, seeking, and knocking, he says, is just part of the normal process. That's just what the process looks like. That God's delays are not God saying, I don't love you and I don't want to meet the needs of your heart. Jesus says, that's just how this works. Because there's something that I want to do in you in the process of persistence that needs to be done. And church, I believe that God has some incredible gifts for you this year, but you might have to persist in prayer. And it might not come this year. It might not come for several years. But you know what Jesus would say to that? Keep asking, keep knocking, keep persisting, and keep trusting that God's heart for you is this perfect Father who wants to give you a good gift. Church, God has good gifts to you, but part of how we unlock them is persistence in prayer. It's the reality of what it means to follow him. It teaches us something that we need to bear in the reality of our soul, and it opens us up to understanding his fatherly heart for us in deeper ways. See, I think sometimes if God were just like that cosmic, you know, credit card that you just swipe, and you get what you want immediately, so much would be lost in our relationship with him. He wants something different than that, church. But are you willing to embark in the process? Pray more. Now, here's something else powerful about this. The deepest desires of your heart are meant to be processed in prayer. This year, the things that you most want, the things that you most hope for, the things that are just so deep in you today, they are just foundational to your heart. You know what I want you to do? Pray more about those. That's where those desires are meant to be expressed. You bring that to your Heavenly Father, and you bring it persistently, and you ask and seek and find, and you go to him with a heart like a kid that says, all right, if I'm asking for lunch, Dad's not going to leave me hanging. Dad's not going to let me starve. Dad's not going to cast me out to the cold, right? Dad is going to meet the needs, but in his wisdom, in his time, in his ways. You with me on this? Pray more. Here's what I believe. If you pray more this year, you will not regret one moment of it. You will not regret one moment. I've regretted moments of not praying about things in my life. I'm going to make this decision and ask God to bless it on the back end. I regret those moments. I regret just not seeking his wisdom and discernment and just moving forward in my own, you know, thoughts and good ideas. But I've never regretted spending any time in prayer. Never regretted it. So here's what we're going to do this week. I want to challenge you to join us as a church. And we're going to do 7 days of prayer and fasting this week to begin the new year. Now, I know there's a lot of churches, they do 21 days. God bless them. Yeah, my feelings exactly. So we're going to do 7 days of prayer and fasting. You know, they're high speed. I'm cool with being the freshman team. Good with it. I'll play JV. And we're going to just pray and seek God. Now, if you've never fasted before, there's many different ways you can do it. You could do a full food fast. You could fast from a couple meals. You could fast from social media. It doesn't even have to be food related. You could fast from TV. But the point is, you're giving something up to focus more on God. That's what the point is. And I'm going to kind of inconvenience my life a little bit so I can be more connected to my Heavenly Father. And this week we'll have some prayer prompts on social media, some just kind of little videos to give you some things to pray about. But here's what I really want us to pray about as a church this week. I want us to pray just for health, physical, spiritual, emotional, relational. I want health for our whole church, for your families, for all of us in all those categories. I want to pray for that. I want to pray that God would just continue to reach people for Christ through our church. That at the end of 2022, heaven would be more full because of what God did through our church. That's what I want to pray for. I want to pray that God would just continue to raise up his people, which is you, to unleash your gifts to serve each other and to serve this community. That God would just continue to build up his church and to bless it through the gifts of his people. We're also this year going to talk a lot about our building project. So I want to be praying for that, praying that God would raise the resources and all that. I'm going to roll out the designs on our campus night, January 27th. So get that on your calendar. That's for all those who serve, who volunteer, or anyone who's interested in serving and volunteering. You can come that night. So we've got the designs done. It's amazing. So we're going to begin that journey this year, so you can be praying for that. And then just praying for the needs and the issues of our church, those who are struggling and hurting and all that. So this week, 7 days of prayer and fasting. Give me a southern amen if you're in on that. Amen. All right. Online, let us know if you're in for that. I think it's going to be really good. And then I just have to say one more thing about these verses, then I'll move on. At the end of it, Jesus says, do for others what you want them to do for you. Now, how does that connect with prayer? What it means is that when you trust God to meet the desires of your heart, you are more capable of serving people well. When I know that I don't have to serve myself, I don't have to have all of this figured out and accounted for, but I can trust God to meet the needs of my heart, I'm more free to give my time and energy to bless you. That's what it's about. See, when you pray more, not only will you connect to God more, but you'll be more selfless too. And you'll be a better servant to the people around you. You'll be like, God's got my back. I don't got to waste my energy covering it. God's got it. But here's what I can put my energy towards, blessing and serving you. You with me on this? So, judge less, pray more. And let's look at this last part of chapter 7. Act obediently. Verse 24. Everyone who hears these words of mine, here's the most important part, and does them. Say that with me. And does them. See, many of us, we've heard a lot of what God wants to say to us. But if we don't do any of it, it's not helpful. Blesses everyone who hears them and does them. They will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. If you smell, and everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Notice Jesus says following him doesn't mean the storm doesn't come. You with me on that? I know many of you, you've been through storms this year. There's going to be other storms ahead. God never promises that the storms don't come, that the rain doesn't come, that the water doesn't rise, that the house doesn't get beat on. But here's what he does promise. You'll be standing at the end of it. You'll be standing at the end of it. And I know this year, some of you, you have went through storms, and here you are. You're standing. You're standing in your faith. You're standing with the Lord. You're standing not in your own strength, but in the strength that he's given you. And Jesus says the more that we obey him, the stronger our life becomes. A strong life is not about what you overcome. It's about what you don't succumb to. It's about what you can stand and keep going. Some of you don't think you're strong because you've had a lot go wrong and a lot of pain and a lot of difficulty, but you are strong because it didn't ruin you, because you're still standing, because you're still here worshiping God, because you're still waking up to serve Christ. And this is the power of obedience, church. This is the power of acting obediently to what Jesus tells us to do. See, Jesus says, if you go do your own thing, then the storm will come and you won't be standing. And church, every time I've went my own way, I can attest to that. Without the strength of God in my life, the storm is going to destroy me every time. And then it's a rebuilding season. But with Christ, the storm comes and we stay standing with him. And so here's what I want to challenge you today. What is God asking you to do in this season? And will you just go and do it? That's the question we just have to keep asking ourselves. What is Jesus asking me to do, and am I going to do it? And if you can just discern what he's asking you to do, maybe it's something that he spoke to you in the Sermon on the Mount. Maybe it's something that his spirit whispered to you in a time of prayer. But here's all that matters. Obey him. Do what he says. He will not fail you. You will become stronger through your obedience. Every single time. You with me on this, church? There's a great book that I love. It's called A Tale of Three Kings. And it's a fictionalized account of the story of King David. It's a story from 1 and 2 Samuel. And it's just kind of like a little more drama added to it and dialogue. And it's really, really powerful. But David was anointed king of Israel by this great prophet Samuel as a young man. And while he was anointed, there was still another king on the throne named Saul. And over a long time, everything got messed up for David. And if you read the story, David's has to run for his life. Saul ends up wanting to kill him. He's got to live in cave after cave. He just goes through all these horrible things. Lies are told about him. His reputation's ruined. Just everything is horrible. But yeah, the thing that the book makes clear is that while he was on this crazy, unorthodox journey, it was God preparing him for the throne. It's God preparing him for the throne. And the unorthodox path that God had was the only path that would prepare his heart for what God wanted to do through him. And here's why I bring that up. The path of God may be very unorthodox in your life at times. I guarantee there are times when David looked at his life and said, God, what are you doing? Where are we going right now? How does this story end? And I know there's times where you and I, we feel that way. It's part of following Jesus to feel that way, actually. Because those are the times when acting obediently is most important. David had many opportunities to eject out of the story of God in his life because it was painful and it was tough. But you know what he did? He woke up and he showed up and he kept following and he acted obediently, even when it didn't make sense. And at the end of the day, God made him the greatest king of Israel. And at the end of your story, here's what I know. If you follow Jesus wholeheartedly this year, you will be amazed at him. See, the beautiful thing about this sermon is that it says it ends and the crowd was amazed with Jesus, amazed with him. They were like, yeah, you don't fit any of our boxes. We don't really know how to place you. We don't really know all of who you are or what you represent. But the reality of God is undeniable on you. And church, I want to tell you today that if you just wholly follow Jesus this year and you just keep challenging yourself to act obediently, especially on the twists and turns, especially where it doesn't make sense, here's what I promise you. You will end this year more amazed with Jesus, which is the best outcome that could happen this year. You will end this year thinking, man, he's better than I thought. He's more trustworthy than I thought. He's more faithful than I thought. He's more kind than I thought. He's more powerful than I thought. He's more wise than I thought. You will end this year more amazed at Christ in church. That's the best thing that can happen to you and me. But you won't get that blessing without obedience. And I won't get that blessing without obedience. But if you and I walk with him the best that we can, and we say, I may not always know what God is asking me to do, but this I know, if I know, I will do it. If I have clarity, I will obey. Church, if that is the attitude of your heart and my heart, it's going to be a great year. It's going to be an amazing year, no matter what happens. And you and I will end in worship of who Jesus is. You'll see it in your life. Let's pray. Father, you are amazing in every way. I know, Lord, that sometimes it's hard to discern what you're doing, why you're doing it, what the end looks like. But Father, we don't have to worry about or control all of that. What we have to worry about is just obeying what you're asking us to do. Father, I pray this year, I pray we would judge less. I pray we'd be more gracious souls. Pray, Father, we would pray more than we ever have. Pray this week there would be breakthrough and blessing as we pray and fast. And I pray, Father, we would act obediently. That, Lord, our delight would be to obey your call and your purpose on our life. Help us in all this. In Jesus' great name, amen.